Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening. And I think before we do that, though, we'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Lord, just pray that you would also help us to be able to lift up and glorify Christ, point people that are searching to Christ, help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And, you know, I have to say that the last couple of days, I think starting Friday in particular, and then yesterday and today, have been some of the nicest days here in northeastern Ohio that we've had at this time of year in a long time. We're actually running a little bit warmer than normal. Our normal highs here should only be in the 60s, I think, in some cases low to mid-60s. But we had temperatures in the low 70s to mid-70s these past several days, and absolutely gorgeous days. We had some unseasonably cold weather leading up to that, and that's probably what it made it so nice. We actually had snow on the ground a few days ago during the week. In the middle of the night, we had heavy wet snow come down, and our ground was coated with snow. We also had some slushy snow hitting during the day and things like that, and it was getting kind of chilly, cold, and just dark and dreary. And then on Friday, we had a nice frontal system come through that brought in some nice sunny weather and some nice warmer temperatures. And Friday, Saturday, today, it's just been absolutely gorgeous for this time of year, for any time of year. I think I could take what we had these last few days year-round if it were possible. But again, what a gorgeous day. The leaves, a number of them were knocked off the trees from the rain and the wind and the blustery conditions that we had recently. But I have to say that when things warmed up, dried out, sun came out, and people getting out and about, just there's a lot of nice color in the trees out there, and it's just been astounding to see the display that God has given us this year in the autumn leaves. It's just been wonderful. I hope you're in some part of the country listening where you've had a chance to go and see. If you're further south, though, of course, it may not have gotten there yet. This week, I think, coming up is going to be the peak in the southern half of Ohio, and then, of course, that moves down into Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, down along through there as autumn makes its appearance here. But in the meanwhile, I'm glad you're with us here tonight. Hope you'll stick with us. You can find out more about us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out not only more about me and the program there, you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's, of course, the main sponsor of our program. And you can go to our site as well there. But at our website, there's a number of things there. You can listen to past programs there. If you're in an area where you do not hear our Friday afternoon program, of course, we're on in Cleveland, Ohio on 1220, AM 1220, The Word. We're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And if you do not get that program or you're not in an area where you can listen, you can go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to our past programs there, and as well as our past Sunday night programs. And do continue to pray for us. Hold us up in prayer that we continue to be able to do the things that God gives us opportunity to do here on the radio. And I wanted to mention a couple of other things here. We've been mentioning the Veterans Day D-Day Prayer Edition celebration at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day, November the 11th. Veterans Day is always on November 11th, commemoration of the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month. And if you are able to get to Washington, D.C. for Veterans Day this year, we've been talking about this, and we'll have some more information about this coming up in the next couple of weeks as well. But you can go online to the ddayprayerproject.org. That's the ddayprayerproject.org. And if you go there, or to the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. If you go there, you can find more information there about the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day. And it doesn't cost you anything to be a part of it. We have a number of people. Our MC is going to be Bob France. He's a host here in the Cleveland area. He also fills in for a number of people on the Salem Network. I think this past week he was filling in for Hugh Hewitt. He's also filled in for Dennis Prager and Sebastian Gorka and others on the Salem Radio Network. So you may have heard him. And then, of course, Ohio Christian Alliance President Chris Long, who is the originator of this project. And then Ohio Senator Rob Portman, going to be a number of World War II reenactors and a number of other special guests. And we're going to pay tribute to the men and women who served in World War II for the cause of freedom, and also commemorating the addition of President Franklin Roosevelt's prayer that he gave on national radio, one of the most listened to radio pieces of the day, to announce to the nation and to the world that the D-Day invasion had begun, and also to encourage people to pray for the success of that mission. And then, along with that, we have author and historian Bill Federer of American Minute. You can go online, AmericanMinute.com, and Bill Federer is going to be giving a walking tour, a historical tour of the World War II Memorial, as well as the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial, and the Lincoln Memorial, where we'll conclude. So if you're able to come to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day, there is a program at, I believe, 9:30 at the World War II Memorial, and then our program is going to be at 11:30, same location, and so you can take in both programs if you like. There's no cost to be there, and no cost to follow us on the walking tour. But if you're in northeastern Ohio and you are interested in taking a bus, there is a charter bus leaving northeastern Ohio. If you're in northeastern Ohio, the bus will be leaving from Wadsworth, Ohio on Thursday, November the 10th at 11 in the morning, and it'll travel to D.C. We'll be staying in a hotel. I believe it's the Holiday Inn in Crystal City near the Reagan National Airport. And then in the morning, the bus will pick us up and take us to the World War II Memorial, and then the bus will meet us at the Lincoln Memorial and bring us back to Ohio, and we should be back about midnight or so, maybe a little later, depending on traffic, after being in Washington, D.C. for Veterans Day. So if you're interested in that, like I said, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. or to the Ohio Christian Alliance site at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. There's links there you can find out. And even if you're not riding the bus and you want to know more about this event, let me encourage you to go to the ddayprayerproject.org website. You'll find out more there. And if you can't go, please pray for us. And we're looking forward to a good day there in our nation's capital. All right. Well, got that out of the way, but it's not getting it out of the way in terms of that it's something that is in the way. It's something very much that we want to encourage people. If you can make it, or if you're going to be in D.C., we certainly encourage you to come and participate in that. Well, now I move on to the rest of the program. So we will be talking about that more in coming programs. But I want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And actually, before I forget about it, if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can see our Friday, October the 14th program, where I had Chris Long on with me, and we talk about the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration and even play the audio of President Roosevelt and his address to the nation. So that's all at livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, our phone numbers, as I said, are 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to jump into our callers. But before we do that, I did want to mention one thing before I forget as well. Apparently, we were assured a couple of weeks ago that the Lord had to come back during the Feast of Tabernacles in 2022. If anybody caught that, you know, the return of the Lord in during the Feast of Tabernacles, let me know, because if it happened, I missed it. So that's all I want to say about that, I guess, right now. But again, this is why we don't set dates. When people set dates, you know, generally speaking, it's a recipe for disaster. We were talking about this at our Friday night Bible study afterwards, and I said to somebody, I said, well, there will be a time when we'll be able to tell the day and the hour of the rapture, the catching away of the believers. And some people were saying, no, you just can't do that. I said, yeah, right after it happens. Right after it happens, we'll be able to say, yeah, today was the day and it happened just last few minutes ago. So you'll be able to at that time. But before then, when anybody tries to tell you and assure you that they know the day and the hour, when the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, don't listen to them. We know we're in the season. We know we're probably close. We know that it's probably knocking at the doors. But at the same time, we do not know the day nor the hour. We know the season. We know it's imminent. We know it's close. But we don't know exactly when. We can speculate all we want to. And if you've been listening to our program, you know we speculate about it from time to time, tying it in with various Jewish holidays and other things. But the fact of the matter remains, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. Could it be this year? Could it be now? Could it be next week? Absolutely. But we don't know. And so we are called to be a witness and to keep working until that time when we're caught up to be with the Lord in the air. In the meanwhile, let's get into our callers here tonight. And I'm looking over here at the screen, see who's been holding the longest. I believe it's Nancy's been holding the longest. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. My comment and question today is regarding Revelation 21.
All right.
The new heaven and the new earth.
Right.
And it says in there that all things will become new. And it says, but then it also says there's no more pain, no sorrow, or, you know, everything's just, you know, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't we pain-free and free of sorrow as soon as we're raptured up? But I don't know any place in the Bible that says that specifically. You could, comment on that?
Sure. Yeah, in Revelation chapter 21, of course, this is the new heaven and the new earth. And there's other parts of the Bible that refer to this as well, the same thing. And this is, of course, after the tribulation period. The devil is bound for 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth, rules and reigns from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And that's detailed for us in Revelation chapter 20. And then after the 1,000 years is up, the devil is released, the Bible says, for a little season. We don't know how long that is. And then he tries to stir up one final revolt against God. And, of course, during that 1,000 years, there will be people being born on the earth. We have people who survive the tribulation, who become believers during the tribulation. They will go into the tribulation the way we as believers are now, in this body that still has the sin nature. And they will be having children during that period of time, and their children will have children, their children's children will have children, etc. And so the earth will be filled with people. A lot of those people, because of their sin nature, will chafe under the rule of Christ. And so when the devil is released, he'll find a ready audience that's willing to listen to him, and he'll raise up one final attempt at rebellion against God. God puts it down. Then we have the Great White Throne Judgment, and those that have rejected God are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The devil, of course, is cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And then finally, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And that's where we see then in chapter 21, the new heaven and the new earth. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter 3, talking about the heavens melting with the fervent heat, and new heavens and new earth. And part of that is because this present heavens and earth are stained with sin. Satan's rebellion in the heavens, of course, and sin that's reigned on this earth. And so it'll be made new, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And then we go into what's called eternity in the future in Revelation chapter 21. And, of course, one other thing that will be there in addition to the New Jerusalem is in Revelation 14, the lake of fire will be something that can be seen. I don't know how visible it will be to us in the new earth and all, but it will be something that will be visible throughout eternity. It's described as in chapter 14, says the smoke of their torment, those that are there ascendeth forever and ever. So it will be a constant stark reminder of the cost of sin. And the New Jerusalem that's described there comes down to the earth, and it is a rather large structure. In fact, it never says it sets down on the earth. It just says it comes out of heaven from God to the earth. And it could be, for instance, in like a geosynchronous orbit over the earth, which I think is much more likely, because the size of it, it'll have apparently a square footprint, which would, if you set one corner of it down on the Ohio-Pennsylvania border, the other corner would reach the western border of Colorado. So that's a pretty sizable piece of ground. In fact, I have on our website at livewithpastoral.com an article on the New Jerusalem, and in it I have a map of the 48 contiguous states with the footprint of the New Jerusalem superimposed on that, so you can get a size, an idea of the size. It'll likely be a cube or a pyramid shape. And like I said, if it's in a geosynchronous orbit, that would make a lot of sense. And so this would be the New Jerusalem, and then, of course, the new heaven and the new earth. And this is where we will be during this time. We as believers will be in the New Jerusalem. And you talked about no more sorrow, right?
Yeah. Can you just explain geosynchronous orbit? What is
that? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. we have satellites today. They park them in what's called a geosynchronous orbit at a certain altitude over, say, the equator, for instance, or part of the Earth. The Earth is rotating at a certain speed, and there's certain orbits that you can put a satellite in where it's moving around the Earth in the same direction that the Earth is rotating, and it is making one rotation around the Earth basically in a 24-hour period, which means that it appears to be over the exact same spot on the ground because it's basically keeping up with it. And so as the Earth is revolving on its axis, the satellite is revolving around the Earth, and the speeds are synchronized so that it always appears to be in the same place. If the Earth was not rotating, it would certainly make a trip around the Earth every day. But because the Earth makes a rotation every day, and it's making it same speed, it looks like it's over the same spot of the Earth. So geo for the Earth, and synchronous, geosynchronous, over the same spot.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now, my main question is, when he says in verse 5, and he that sitteth upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, and God shall, but then back in verse 4, I shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Right.
But when he said, when the Bible says, I will make all things new, it would make me think that maybe there was, you know, tears and death and sorrow of crying up until that point, which I've always heard that when you go to heaven, everything's perfect, you know, no tears, no sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But can you pinpoint in the Bible someplace else, like, say, when we're raptured up, it doesn't say that we are, you know, all these things are occurring then also?
Well, yeah, when we're caught up to be with the Lord, we'll be in a new body, and we will now have greater understanding what God is doing. And I'm sure as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive a reward for that which we've done, you know, our faithful service for Christ in this life will be rewarded. I think there will be some tears when we realize that we could have done more and what we missed out on because we weren't willing to surrender to the Lord. But you have to understand, too, Revelation chapter 21 here and the new heaven and the new earth, all the things that are transpiring before that is the tribulation period, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then the great white throne judgment. And all of those things are going to be taking place on earth and in the heavens. And we, during the millennial reign of Christ, will actually be living on the earth, not in heaven. And while we're living on the earth as believers from this time, we'll have a new body. We won't have a sin nature, but we're going to be dealing with people who are like we are today, and we're going to see people fail, and we're going to see people reject Christ, and we're going to see all that. And there's going to be a lot of frustrations, but nonetheless, we'll still be here serving God. And then, of course, the idea that we can see what takes place at the great white throne judgment when there are people that we knew that are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, and we see people that we could have witnessed to, that we could have shown the gospel to, and we didn't. I think there will be some tears and everything, and then God wipes away all the tears, and we go into the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll understand what took place. We'll understand our failure, but we'll also understand God's forgiveness, we will go in, into the new heaven and the new earth with all of that behind us now.
So, thank you. That explains it so well. I was just very confused about that.
Yeah, because we're not going to go to heaven when the rapture takes place and then be there for the rest of eternity. We're only going to be there until the tribulation period comes to an end, and then we're coming back to the earth. That's covered in Revelation chapter 19. Even the little book of Jude, the book that's just before Revelation, Jude talked about how Enoch, and which is interesting, Enoch was before the flood, back in the pre-flood world, talked about how he prophesied that he saw the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints, meaning, a large number. And even Job talked about knowing that his Redeemer liveth and seeing him with his own eyes, even after his body had been destroyed in the grave. And so there's predictions of the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation throughout the Old Testament as well. And at that time, of course, we're going to come back and we're going to be part of his government here for the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. So we will be here during that time. Yeah.
I understand that so much better now. Thank you so much. And I just want to say what a beautiful wedding that was, at your church yesterday with Neil and Maria. It was just so godly and everything was perfect.
It was nice to have had the opportunity to do that. It's the first wedding we've done in our new location, and it was good. It was a beautiful day, and we're just thank the Lord for it. So
yeah, praise the Lord.
Okay. Amen. I appreciate that.
That's so well. Thank
yes.
You.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the call today. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to get to Terry right now. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. I'll let you know up front, we got just about 3 minutes or so, so if we need to, we'll hold you over the break. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, but we got to you early before the break even, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of nice. it'd be nice if you could start earlier.
Well, that would be nice, but we'll see what happens. If the Lord opens up a door for us, we'd love to be able to do that. But in the meanwhile, we're still 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday nights.
But anyway, I don't have to work so early in them. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, or whatever to work. So,
because
the days are shorter. But anyway, I was going to bring up Romans chapter 5.
Romans chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it talks about a verse. I thought I'd start off with through verse 12.
All right, verse number 12, okay.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then I was reading this, and I wasn't too sure, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. And nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not sure what that really meant.
All right, well.
Nevertheless, 14, especially 14, 13.
All right, well, let's try to break down a little bit of this here. And in verse 12 where this begins, and remember we've got a long sentence here that starts in it starts in verse 12 and it runs down through verse 13. So verse 12 and 13 is one sentence. It's not two separate sentences. And when he says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned, that's referring, of course, back to when Adam disobeyed God. And God had given Adam one rule. Well, there's actually things that he told him to do, but he gave him one thing not to do. He said, you could eat from all the trees except for one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said that when you do that, you will die. And so what happened was the devil tempted Eve. She ate the forbidden fruit. She held it out to Adam, offered it to him, and he made the choice to disobey God, follow Eve in her sin, in her disobedience of God's command. And because he was the responsible party, remember, Eve was not made first, she was made second to help him. So Adam had the responsibility, and that's why it says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Adam died spiritually, at that moment. He was cut off from God. Now, physically, he lasted for quite a number of years, but spiritually, he died immediately. Hey, we got about 10 seconds. We'll pick this up on the second half. Can you stay? And
yes.
And keep listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio station. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you give us a call tonight. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the radio here tonight. I just wanted to mention, too, that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and the program, but you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we meet in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have all that information at the end of the program. Just had it there a little bit ago, too. But you can find all that out at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, and also you can read some of the materials there that I've written, different articles and booklets. And there's links to some other information and things there. Also want to remind you to check out the Veterans Day D-Day Prayer Edition celebration at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. at 11:30 on November the 11th, which is Veterans Day. And you can find out more about that at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And if you're in northeastern Ohio, there is a charter bus going from Wadsworth, Ohio, And you can find out more about that at ddayprayerproject.org. There is a cost for that, and it'll be leaving on Thursday, November the 10th at 11:30 a.m., arriving in Washington, D.C., spending the night at the Holiday Inn in Crystal City across from the Reagan National Airport. Then the bus will take us over to the World War II Memorial. The memorial, of course, is going to be the site of a program at 9:30, and then our program will be at 11:30, celebrating the D-Day Prayer Edition. And then William Federer is going to lead a walking tour of the World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Veterans War or Vietnam War Memorial, and the Lincoln Memorial. And if you ride the bus here from Ohio, the bus will pick us up there to bring us back to Ohio late on Friday night, probably about midnight, maybe a little later. And if you want to join us there, get there on your own power, or you live near there and just want to drive in for the celebration, there's no cost if you come that way. You're welcome to join up with us and enjoy the day. Of course, our MC, Bob France, our Ohio Christian Alliance President Chris Long, this is the brainchild of him. He's responsible for this. Ohio Senator Rob Portman, a troop of World War II reenactors, and a number of special guests, and author and historian William Federer. So I hope you'll join us if you can. All right, let's move on back to our callers here. And, of course, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and before the break we were talking with Terry in Canada regarding Romans chapter 5, and starting in here where it says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then in verse 13 it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." And Terry, are you still with us there?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so you were asking then, we understand in verse 12 that it's telling us about what happened when Adam disobeyed God. He disobeyed God's commandment. He ate the forbidden fruit, and he immediately died spiritually, and then the curse was placed upon humanity and the world, and then Adam began the process of dying physically, which didn't happen until many years later, obviously. But because of that, we inherit a sin nature from our fathers, which, by the way, is another one of the reasons why Jesus could not have a human father, because if he had a human father, he would have inherited a sin nature. So that was a part of the necessity of the virgin birth there. So anybody thinks the virgin birth isn't that important doesn't understand this passage. But then you had a question then on verse 13, right?
14. Well, if there's no law, then there's no sin, right?
Okay. Well, we have to get to verse 13 first, because that's where it sets the stage, because that finishes the sentence that began in verse 12. And if you look at verse 13, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." Well, the law he's talking about there probably is the Mosaic law. And he's saying sin was in the world before the Mosaic law was given, which is true. But it's interesting, he makes a statement here, the last clause there says, "But sin is not imputed when there is no law." And it's not saying sin did not exist when sin was already in the world, which would be awful confusing. What it's saying is sin was in the world, and though the Mosaic law was not yet here, we have, you know, a natural law. Even the Gentiles, remember, the Bible says they, even though they did not have the Mosaic law, they still had a sense of right and wrong. And so this natural law, that there are things that are right, that there are things that are wrong, was in the heart of man. It's like it's programmed in. Sometimes we call that the conscience that reacts. And so even though the Mosaic law had not yet been given, there's this natural law, and that's why sin was in the world. If there was no natural law before the Mosaic law was given, if there were nothing else, then sin obviously couldn't be imputed because sin would be a breaking of the law. And one way you can prove natural law exists is if you have a small child, take a baby that has a bottle or a pacifier and it's contentedly sucking on that bottle or pacifier, and go there and rudely pull it away from him, what does the baby do? It cries, right?
Upset, right?
It gets upset because you did something that to the baby, as small as it is something that the baby knows what you did was wrong. It wasn't right. And so the baby cries and expresses its displeasure. So there is a natural law, and that's a simple way of seeing it. There's other things as well. You know, you can look at as small children when they're growing up. They do something wrong, and they instinctively try to cover up and not admit to it.
And there's some churches, or I'm pretty sure the Catholic Church believes that children are not accountable to them, or they don't sin.
Well, yeah, and there's a whole other area that we get into about accountability, yeah. Because and that's that would be getting us off the point right now.
Yeah.
But there is
right,
what the
right.
Bible talks about. It implies the age of accountability. And real quick, without taking the time to go there, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband put into the hot part of the battle and then abandoned there so that he would get killed, and he had tried to cover it up, when the baby was born, God said the baby was going to die. And David mourned and tried to beg God to spare the baby, and God would not do it. And when the baby had died, the servants were surprised because David cleaned himself up and then went down to get something to eat, basically. And they were, you know, saying, you know, while the baby was alive and dying, you were, you know, just wouldn't eat anything. You wouldn't come down, and you just prayed and talked to God. And now the baby's dead, and you're just getting back to life. What's going on? And he said, well, while the baby was alive, I thought maybe God might spare him. But now that he's dead, I know where he is, and one day I'll be there too. I know I'm giving the quick pastoral highlight of paraphrase of that. And there's other things also in the Bible that indicate that children under this age of accountability, which probably varies from child to child, that there's provision in some way the Bible doesn't give us clearly. But you know, think about it, an infant, you can preach the gospel to it all day long, and it doesn't have the capacity to understand it and react to it. So that's a whole other area. But we do know that children can do things that they instinctively know are wrong. And so when they do that, it's because there's natural law, even before they're aware of, you know, rules and things that we give them. There's some things they just instinctively know are wrong. And so you asked about verse 14 then, right?
Yeah, 14,
yeah.
Yes.
Nevertheless, death reigned in from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And when we look at this, yeah, death reigned because we had a sin nature, and even though we did not do what Adam did, because death and sin had entered into the world, we inherited that sin nature, and we inherited the curse of death. And so as a consequence, death reigned from Adam to Moses. We didn't fully understand it. Now, we know that the patriarchs offered sacrifices. God instructed them what to do. Remember Noah and his family, when they got off from the ark, they offered up a sacrifice immediately. And we see that happening long before Moses was ever born, people offering sacrifices. And so there's an understanding, but it wasn't until Moses come along that God gave the law in detail, where he chronicled a number of things. We think of the Ten Commandments, which the one table of the Ten Commandments deals with our relationship with God. The other table deals with our relationship with our fellow man. And so then that laid out in a sense in a hard copy, the law. And so now we have the law that was given to us, and Paul talks about the law elsewhere being our school teacher. It tells us things that are right and things that are wrong, and we don't always know what it is. There are things that we would not know are violations of God's law if the law wasn't made available to us. You know, if I'm driving down the road and I think that the speed limit, or let's say I'm driving on the road and the speed limit is 45. And as I'm driving down the road, I pass into another municipality, let's say, and the speed limit drops to 25. I don't know that. I let's say I've not been there before. I am ignorant of the change in the law, and I don't know that I'm sinning. But, you know, in terms of violating the law, I don't know that I'm now a speeder. I'm 10 miles over the speed limit or whatever, and or 20 miles over the speed limit. Went from 45 to 25. And I don't know that as yet. And if the police pull me over, I can say, well, I thought it was 45. That's the last sign I saw. But if I'm sitting in front of a sign that says 25, I can't claim ignorance anymore, can I? Because I've been made aware that the speed limit dropped. There's a sign right there that says 25. And so I can't claim ignorance. But in either case, I've still been 20 miles over the speed limit because I've been speeding. It's just in one case, I had no way of knowing. But when I saw the sign, I now have no excuse. And so when the law was given, we realize we have no excuse. We were sinners before. I mean, right. It was wrong to be an idolater before the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But when that was put in before us in a way that we could read it and make copies of it and pass it around and share it with others, we're now without excuse. So,
and the last part, yeah, that's understandable because that's when the law came to be through Moses. And then it says that Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? Who's the figure of, it came to me, Satan.
Well, I think what he might be getting at there is, let me see if I can find this phrase really quick here. We have the... I can't see what I'm doing here. Just a minute. I get my glasses turned around where I can see. We have the first Adam is one phrase that we see in Scripture, I believe. Let me just check this out here. Doesn't want to give me first Adam. Let's see here. Let me check again here. One of the things when you're doing, we have... Okay, first Adam, that's not going to be what I want. This is one of the things that you got to try and do when you're doing live radio is try to look at something and type something into the computer while you're and type it correctly. I just spelled second with S-E-C-O-R-D. That's not going to work, is it? Let's try putting an N there. And let's see what I get. Okay, second Adam. All right, I'm not finding what I was looking for, but we'll move on from there. But when we get to this passage here, I got to clear my screen so I can get back to the passage. And, of course, it doesn't want to cooperate when I'm in a hurry. All right, so let's get back here first. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 14. And there's a passage here that I'm looking for, and hopefully I'll find it here. Usually I'll find this or think of it on the way home. But further on down as we're talking about this, and this is the point that I'm getting at, and I think the one that's to come, is perhaps actually referring to Christ here when you think about it, because he says in the next verse, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And the reason I'm saying that is because it was one man that put us into this mess, and that's Adam, right, the first Adam there. And then it's one man that gets us out of this mess, and that's the man Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying there?
Yes.
Yeah, and so
it's a blessing.
Yeah, so the first Adam here, where we see how Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, Adam charted the course, so to speak, for humanity by his sin, his disobedience. And then Jesus came, and by his obedience and his lack of sin, he charted a new course and made it possible for us to have the forgiveness of sin, to have this gift that it's talking about, a free gift, the gift of salvation. And as it goes on in verse 16, and talking about that, we get down to verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And that kind of echoes the language. You know, we have by one Adam's transgression, which is a figure of him that was to come. So we have by one that we got into this mess, and then by one we can get out of this mess. And so that's where I think the figure of him that was to come, Jesus, in a sense, is like the anti-Adam. You know, Adam got us in the mess. Jesus gets it out of the mess.
Yeah, 19 is one of my favorites.
Right, right. For as by one man, and that's Adam, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And then in a like fashion, although only in the opposite direction, and so by the obedience of one, that's Christ, shall many be made righteous. So it really is interesting when you think about it. One man got us into the mess, that's Adam. One man gets us out of the mess, and that's Christ Jesus. So
thank him for that.
Yeah, and
20 and 21, they're like this whole chapter.
Oh yeah, it's a great chapter, and
chapter 7.
Yeah, and there's much in Romans. Romans is always a book that I tell people, if you are trying to understand Christianity, if you're a new Christian, or if you're someone who is considering the claims of the gospel, the claims of Christianity, read the Gospel of John and then read the book of Romans. And then when you've done that, go back and read them both again. And
we think of Romans as one chapter by chapter. But actually, Romans is just one big letter.
Oh, yes, it is. And
one big letter that he wrote to, not only to the Gentiles, but to the Jews, the Roman Jews. This letter was written to Christians.
Christian
Gentiles.
Yeah, and when you look at this, much of the book of Romans, especially the first 11 chapters, is kind of telling you what salvation is, what a Christian is. And then when you get to chapter 12 on through the end of the book, you're looking at, okay, now you know what a Christian is. Now here's how you ought to act. Here's what you ought to do. So right, you kind of got the nuts and the bolts both of what it is, and then if you are a Christian, here's what's expected of you. And that's why I say it's a great book. It's a book of solid doctrinal meat. And unfortunately, so many churches today do not promote much in the way of doctrine. They're certainly doctrine light. They want to urge you to have your best life ever now, but they don't want to tell you that your best life ever is not going to happen until you put your faith in Christ and we're caught up to be with Him and we're delivered from this body of death. That's when our best life is going to be.
Right. Joel Osteen wrote that.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
Is as far as I'm concerned, this whole chapter is the gospel.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a wonderful passage that really cuts through a lot of confusion, too, in Romans chapter 8. In verse number 9, Paul writes, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's writing this to people who put their faith in Christ, people who have been have their sins forgiven, and they become a child of God. He said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and then he says this statement, which is that this ought to be burned into the heart of every believer. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of Christ is none other than the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, because Jesus Christ is God. And why this is so important, there's a lot of people who get caught up in this pursuit. Did you get the Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Hey, listen, Paul said, if you have not the Spirit, that's the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You cannot be saved unless you receive the Spirit of God. And
if you have the Spirit, you are saved.
Right. And the Spirit of, if you're saved, the Spirit of God will be in you from the moment of salvation. You don't have to pray and beg God to send His Spirit to be in you.
Nope.
When you get saved, you become, the Bible says, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He takes up residence in you and He says, I'll never leave you nor forsaken. We are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. He will be with us until the time that we go to be with God in heaven. That's exciting. Now, being filled with the Spirit's a different story. We need to be filled on a daily basis, but we have the Spirit in us, but we need to allow Him access to every part of our life. That's the challenge of living the Christian life, allowing Him full access to every part of our life. Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for being with us here today. And we're just running out of time real quick here. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And again, encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.